this night. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
I'm going to be looking into a portion of scripture here from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Yes. Thank God for his precious word, and may the life that comes from his word touch our soul this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. There are some things that God desires. And we're going to look into just a few, but there are a lot of things he desires. But I have chosen from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21 to read. And I go again. It said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." I know that many of us listening here have done that, and we are walking in this beautiful conversion. But we believe that there are others that are listening that hasn't done it yet. So I'll read it again. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." One of the greatest things, I believe, Father God, before I say anything else, I ask that you release your Holy Spirit. Stretch forth your nail-scarred hands again over your word. Touch our heart. Quicken us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. And we pray that your word will do for us exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Amen. Today, we're going to take a little look at some of the things that we believe God desires. The portion of scripture that I am at is Acts chapter 3, 19 to 21. And you can turn there too. And one of the things that God desires above all things, I believe, is that we repent. That we repent. And so, to enter into, let's say, the Holy of Holies, we have to come in humbly, repent, and then step on into this great area that we are told about, which is the Holy of Holies. He desires that we be a witness for him. So as soon as we have had that relationship with him and we experience what it is to be born again, and we let the joy of the Lord fill our heart, then we are expected to go tell and to go make disciples of others. So this morning, some of the things I believe God desires is that we repent. He desires that we be a witness for him. He desires that we tell others that they must be born again. And let them know that it's the most important thing in their life, for it determines their eternity. He desires that we hide his word in our heart, that we will not sin against him. He desires that we walk by faith and not by sight. He desires that we forgive others as he has forgiven us. He desires that we reach out to the poor and help in any way we can. He desires that we establish regular communication with him. He desires that we learn the power of forgiveness. Not lastly, but just to end this, he desires that we love others more than we love ourselves. These are the desires of the heart of God. And one of the biggest to begin with is that he desires that we repent, be converted, and establish a relationship with him. For without him, we will surely fail. And without him, we would be just like a ship without a sail. So we learn that God's desire is that we establish a relationship with him. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21, I read again, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began." As we can see, the greatest desire that God has is that we repent and be converted. Yes. And so, as we say we are believers, I believe that we should have in our mind the time that we stepped out of darkness into his wonder, this wonderful light. And that is what we call testimony. We should be able to testify that there was a time when we recognized that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, could not help ourselves, and so we had to receive Jesus, the Savior of the world, repent before him, give him our life, and thereon we can make our boast in him and call ourselves Christians. believers, children of the living God. And so I think that something that we should really refresh our mind with from time to time is when we came to the Lord. The relationship we had when we gave him our heart. The feeling that came over us. The sense of freedom and assurance that came into our heart through the Holy Spirit when we stepped out of darkness into this marvelous light. So that's where we come by saying we have a testimony. So here we can testify of the time that we really gave ourselves to the Lord. And if we cannot tell of that time that we had that experience, but maybe just walking with others and saying what other believers are saying, but we do not have that testimony, we are in trouble. We have to make our calling and election sure. And that testimony, that time when we have vowed, recognized that we are born sinner, need a savior, we must remember and should try to remember when we give our heart to the Lord. Because when we do that, we realize that our name is written, the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, this Lamb's Book of Life is very important because we are told that at the end of it all, he is going to take the book, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And he is not going to be guessing who and who came to him. He is going to be reading the names from the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you have no part with him. So it is very important that we realize, check ourselves to say, did we just jump in and join in with other believers and say, now I'm going to church, now I'm doing the right thing, now I'm a child of God, but do not have a testimony as to when we made that call in an election, sure. And that's important. That's important because we are told that he is going to take that book. And if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, no matter how we...
We bless the name of the Lord. Seems like we have hit upon another technical issue with Sister Elaine. Sir Henry, will you proceed, please?
We seem to be having these issues today with the telephone, and Sister Fiona was really in the middle of something here. She was presenting to us our responsibility as far as God's children are concerned in promoting the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as she looked on Acts, what was said there by Peter, we also would like to look on what the Lord Jesus himself had said.
Hello?
Yes.
Apparently,
yes.
I got cut off somehow.
Okay. I'm glad you're back.
I'm sorry about that.
There's no guarantee with this telephone, my sister, so please continue.
Okay. My emphasis was on repentance and conversion. And I went on to say that one of the things that I believe Jesus loves more than anything else is to know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you hearing me?
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Amen. Okay. that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because we are told that he's going to be using the book as the initial act, and he's going to be calling the names that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are told that if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, no matter how we think we were living this Christian walk, it's going to be something, because he's just going by the names that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. So, you know, we need to say to ourselves and to say to the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, I want to be sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even if we believe that we are saved and we know we are saved, it's okay if we come to be sure and say, Lord, I repent, and I want to be sure of all things that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because from my understanding, you are going to be using the book. And if my name is not found in that book, I have wasted all of my life. So it's very important that we keep in our head that we want to be sure. And even if it's written and we come back because we want to be sure, and we come back again because we want to be sure, it's okay with the Lord, and we can come as many times as we can want, ask him if our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's very important in the final judgment. Is your name written there in that page right hand there? Tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? And so the writing of our name in the Lamb's Book of Life seem to be very, very important. So, you know, as I say, even if it's written, and we come back and say, Lord, I want to make sure that my name is written, because according to what I understand, it's the book that you're going to be using. So, you know, we come from time to time because of us and our limitations to be sure that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a wonderful feeling. That is a wonderful instruction that we check. And it's a wonderful, warm feeling to feel that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because when all is said and done, that's it. If my name is not there, no matter how I thought, no matter how I was trying, there is an initial thing to get our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is repentance. Forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful mind, and write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because when all is said and done, I'm saying it again, when he takes the book and calls out the name, if your name is not there, no matter how you think that you were one of his and how you tried to be good, it will be very sad.
Yes.
So, you know, as children of God and as others who hear, every now and then, it's okay if we go to the Lord and say through the Holy Spirit, I want to be sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Forgive my foolish ways, reclothe me in my rightful mind, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and write my name in that Book of Life. Right? Because, as I say, when I was thinking, I realized that he said that he is going to be using the book. He's going to be using the book as the initial connection. And if we didn't do the right thing, and that would be very sad. I know you not, depart from me. I know you not. Right? So, our own private way, I believe we must every now and then come back to the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to the Lord, and say, Lord, I want to make sure that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because apparently when all is said and done, that's where it's going to be. This book is going to be the most important thing that you're going to be using to judge us, to find out where we are. And we don't want to hear too late, too late. So as we go along, you know, sometimes we do have people who join the church, didn't give their heart to the Lord, just believe that now that I'm coming to church and I'm trying to do good and I'm, you know, following along with the other believers, that I'm okay. But it's not so. But we really don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Yeah.
So there is a way to establish a relationship with the Lord that he can say, I know you. Because that final, I never knew you, is it? That means that we will not spend eternity with him and there is just one other place to go, and that's hell. So even if through ignorance we keep coming as the Lord, forgive my foolish ways, I believe I'm saved, but just in case I'm not, save me. Right? Because when all is said and done, there will come in a time, there'll come a time when it's too late. When it's too late. But after we have established a relationship with the Lord, there is a certain sweet, secure feeling that we have as a believer. We deep in our spirit, deep in our heart, we have a sense of security. We feel all right. Whether I live, whether I die, I am the Lord's. And so with that, we press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If, I always say, if you say to somebody, Jesus may come today, and their heart begins to skip a beat, then it means that they have not made their calling and election sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you said, you know, the Lord is coming soon, we never know. He may come tonight. He may come tomorrow morning. And there is that joy. And there is that sense of security. And there is that happiness that he is coming. It means that we have done the right thing. We have made our calling and our election sure. So, brethren, every now and then, let's check ourselves and see. And then after we give our heart to the Lord, then we are supposed to grow in grace. We are supposed to grow in grace, right? Unmerited favor, grow in grace. And then the knowledge of the Word of God. We can't just say that, you know, I accepted Christ as my Savior, and we don't do anything to grow. Grow means that you have to be doing something. You plant a little plant, you plant a little tree, you plant something, and you have to water it, you have to fertilize it, you have to do stuff, so it will grow. And so it is when we accept Christ as our Savior, we don't just stop there. We don't just go on and say, okay, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. That's the beginning of the great things to come. Right? And grow means continually supplying what is necessary to make you grow, to make the tree grow. And so we are told that we must grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of God. Grow in grace. And in the knowledge of the Word of God. So it is the Word of God that is going to feed us, enable us, grow. right? And then witness, tell others, talk about him. You know, let the enemy know your stand. Let Satan know you have stepped out of darkness into this marvelous light. And so now you are doing things differently. You have a different mind. You have a sound mind. You have a different mind. Your focus is different. Right? And it said, he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on him. You know? And so we have to go and learn how to stay our mind on the Lord. What do you do to stay your mind on the Lord? And as individuals, let the Holy Spirit indicate to us how to go about it. One thing we know for sure, the Word of God is the base. For us to grow in knowledge and in the Word of God, we have to read the Word. And the Word of God is what enables us to grow in grace. So grace is very important, a merited favor. And we need it, because without that, we're lost. But the most wonderful thing, brethren, I'm sure you experience, is the fact that you are a child of the King. With Jesus, your Savior, you're a child of the King. You once was an outcast, but now we are secured in him. And it gives us a very satisfied feeling. It's because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. Right? And so we have a spirit, and there God has a spirit, and it's by our spirit that we function this Christian life. So we bless the Lord to know that there is the possibility of passing from death unto life. And when we open our hearts and welcome him in, because brethren, as we are told, even from a child, that Jesus stands at the door and knock. Jesus stands at everybody's door and knock. But he's not going to push the door open and walk in. It's left to you. And that's why we weren't saved just from we were children. He didn't push the door and open. There had to come a time when we made up our mind that we want the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. And we had to do something to make it happen. We are the ones that has the lock on the inside, and he is the one that is on the outside knocking, knocking, knocking. But the day that we opened our door and bid him come in was the beginning of what we call salvation. Right? So it doesn't matter that we say, many people say, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything sinful. But they have never opened their heart and asked the Lord Jesus to come into their life and be their Savior. So they are just good sinners. They're just good sinners. They tell you that they're not doing anything sinful. But unless we ask Christ to come into our heart and save us, we're not born again. Right? And we have to remember to tell others that, because we do have a lot of people who live very good and proper life. And they are comfortable in that situation. But they don't realize that being born again is something a little more than that. And you have to desire to have Christ come into your heart, and you have to open the door. So, you know, every now and then we have to remind ourselves of that so we can tell others. We can tell others that we had to open the door and bid him come in. And if they think they're just living a good life and all is well, but they've never asked Jesus to come in and save them, they're on their way to hell. They're on their way to hell. You know? So every now and then, and whenever we have communication with people who we believe or don't think that they're born again, but they're very good. They live a very good life. They do things good and right. But salvation is a different thing. It's a deeper thing. You know, it's for you to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Or ask, it's for them to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come, cleanse them, save them. And the big part of it is write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because from what we understand, he will be judging from the book. He will be judging from the book. And he says, if your name is not found written in the book, then you're on your way to hell. You know, so salvation is the secret. Salvation is the big thing. Salvation, it says you must be born again. You know, and this would, I believe, kind of help us from time to time when we're talking to people. Just out of a good way of putting it, ask if they know the Lord as Savior. Because everybody say, I know God. I know about God. You know. But the question, do you know the Lord as your Savior? As your Savior. Because if you don't, even though you know about him, you read about him, you even talk to him, if you do not ask him to save your soul, it's a problem. Because saving your soul means your name will be written in the book of life. And that's what he's going to be using finally to judge it. So, you know, from time to time as we talk to people, in a way that we would ask the Holy Spirit to give us the right way to ask the question, the right way to bring up the conversation, you know, the right way to help people, just to find out. You're living a good life. You come to church all the time. You do everything right. But are you born again? Are you born again? And some people get a bit upset if you ask them that after they have been doing good things and feeling that they have been doing the right thing. They come to church, they give the offering. They don't make any trouble. They're nice. But we know that our goodness is not what will take us home to glory. We have to be born again. And we have to make this a little more come alive in our life, as we have to do with people. You know, we have to ask the Spirit of God to give us the right way, help us to have the right know-how when we talk with people, to just find out from them if they are born again. Some of them I talk to, we know that's not born again. But if you ask people if they're saved, they'll say yes. Yes, I don't do anything wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. You know, because some of them in truth do not really understand what it is to be born again. Because you're not doing anything bad, you think you're all right. So we have a responsibility to go make disciples of others. We have a responsibility.
Yes, we do have a responsibility, Pastor Henry.
Yes. If we follow what Sister Fiona was ministering on, the emphasis is, where is your name written? Or is it written any at all? And I believe today it is a time for us to really search ourselves. The Word tells us often that we should examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. Twice the Word tells us that we should examine ourselves. And she's very timely in her presentation. purposefully, because it is important that we realize whether or not our names are written in the book of life. I give you something that was said from the word in Luke 10, I think verse 20. We are told that the Lord sent out 70 of his people in order for them to do good in the communities. And they came back with a tremendous report that stated that, Lord, even the devil was subjected unto us. It means that they were reporting victory over healing, victory over deliverance. Every case that they came across, they experienced tremendous victory and people were healed. And they were jumping about. In fact, they top it off by saying that even the very devil was subjected unto them. That means our authority. And the disciples were grinning from ears to ears to realize that they had demonstrated what the Lord asked them to do. And they were rejoicing in that victory. But the Lord just immediately calmed them down. This is going to the heart of what Sister Fiona is ministering on. Imagine in that atmosphere where you discover that the very enemy, the devil, was subject to what you said. You tell the blind man that he must open his eyes, and he had no choice than his eyes be open. The devil watching what you were doing. Because why? Jesus said that it was going to be done because he sent you to do it. And that is authority given to you. They came back with one rejoicing before the Lord and said, Lord, the devil was subjected to us. And in the midst of them doing and saying all of that, jumping around rejoicing, the Lord just calmed them down. Look, read it for yourself, Luke 10. The Lord just calmed them down and said, that is not what you should rejoice about. That is not what you should rejoice about. You should rejoice about the fact that your names are written in heaven. In that book that Sister Fiona is describing. That is something to rejoice about. That is the main thing in the life of any person. Not your accomplishment here, your accomplishment there, your standard here, your recognition here. But the fact that I want to even go further. The Bible tells us in Revelation 20 that there are two books, two sets of books. One is called the books, and the other is called the book. Our name is supposed to be in the book, not the books, which mean the volume of people that are going to hell. Mm-hmm. But the book is where our name is supposed to be. Revelation 20, read from 12 down, and you will understand that for yourself. Sister Fiona is making a point that is as solid as a rock. Because sometimes we do feel that we are in. And it is according to the book. You know, in Parliament, you oftentimes hear somebody said, they are going according to the law, what is written in the Constitution. Meaning, there are different voices, but it is what the law says that matters. And here, our sister was so correct by saying the Lord had no choice than to look in the book to see if your name is there and if my name is there. And if your name is not there, he had to rule according to the book. If my name is not there, he has to rule according to the book. God is a God of principle. And I know that there are some wonderful souls. We come across them at our workplaces, on the buses, in the street, in the communities. Wonderful people who do good around their communities. But guess what? Their names are not in the book of life. And if when the time comes and the Lord don't see your name, regardless of how good and wonderful you are, if God don't see your name in the book of life, he had no choice. No choice at that time. Than to reject you because your name would be found in the books, not in the book. And so that's why we are having church saints, that all people whose name are in the books will be written in the book. So that there will be a time when the Lord looks in his book, he will see your name and he will act accordingly. I've oftentimes said on this platform that the Lord wants to know when you start. The Lord wants to know when you did get on. And we are told in Luke 15 that there is rejoicing in heaven for every sinner that repented. That is the time when your name is written in the book. When your repentance is recognized in heaven, so that they keep a party on your behalf, on my behalf. That's the time your name and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lord needs to know when that conversion took place. And this is what she's emphasizing all day. As wonderful as we might be, as wonderful as you are, the Lord wants to know, when did you get on? Is your name written in the book? The Apostolic Church in America, from time to time, has labored this point. In our Sunday morning ministering, in our Tuesday night, be it prayer meeting, or gospel service, or the Bible studies. We, from time to time, labor this point because we want every person who comes here to worship with us, every person, and that includes also those who you share your telephone with, every person's name to be written in the book. God said, it is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and enjoy eternal life. That is God's will for us. So I am saying to all of us here, as our sister was emphasizing and she was up the right street, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I like the tone of voice and how mannerable she was in her presentation. Coaxing us. Walking with us. Encouraging us, reminding us that what is important is our names be written in the book of life. And when you think that the responsibility that was given to the woman when Jesus rose from the dead was to go kill others. That he is risen. Here is where the Apostolic Church in America, Women's Department, taking up the same responsibility. And I know, encouraging everyone here to get your names written in the Book of Life. And it does not take us to somersault. We don't have to somersault, or we don't have to lift up a bag of sand in order to get it done. Simply exercising faith in the finished work of Calvary. I believe, the man said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Philip said, that satisfies me. You are a candidate for baptism. The man asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. It is only exercising faith in the man called Jesus. And let it be known that deep in your heart, you have embraced him as the Savior of your life, the Savior of your soul. And that will do it, believers. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Yes, Lord, I believe.
Hallelujah. And if you are sincere in that prayer, it means that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hence your name will be written in the Book of Life, because what? Angels in heaven start to have a party on your behalf, because you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It is all faith in the Lord Jesus that does it. Our sister was marching in the right direction purposefully, as she said, is your name written